Good morning. This is Dina Marie. And as we continue our journey of faith, we encounter people along the way. Some of them are to be canonized saints. And we're going to encounter a cobbler on campus whose road to sainthood is grown a little bit closer since the celebration of Easter in 2025, heading over to the campus of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana, to continue my conversation with Brother Philip Smith. He serves currently as the archivist there on campus. Serving the Holy Cross, but he's also been assigned an amazing duty of being the USA coordinator for the cause for Brother Columba O'Neill, one of the members of the Congregation of Holy Cross. Father Ron Rabb joins me as well, Holy Cross priest. He used to serve here in the Archdiocese of Portland at the University of Portland at St. Andre Bessette Church, but now he serves as the religious superior at Holy Cross House there in Notre Dame. Brother Philip, good morning. Thanks for joining me again.
Good morning to you. Thank you for having me.
Father Ron, always great to see you.
Thank you so much.
Well, the last time we talked, and brother, you reminded me, was right after Divine Mercy Sunday. Very exciting there at the Basilica of the Sacred Heart in terms of this movement of the cause for Brother Columba. Give us a little update since Divine Mercy Sunday 2025. What's been going on with the cause for Brother Columba?
Certainly. On April the 27th, which was Divine Mercy Sunday, Bishop Rhodes, at a Vespers service, opened what is called the inquiry phase into the life and the holiness of Brother Columba O'Neill. And at that time, there were a number of individuals who were participating in this phase of the cause who took oaths not only to the Pope, but to the bishop and the church at large, that they would act with integrity and that they would report those items that they found that both demonstrated the holiness of Brother Columba, but also those things about his, let's say, personal spirituality. And on the 29th is when we had our podcast and talked about that. So where we are right now is on June the 1st, the three members of the Historical Commission, Father Rick Gribble, who is a CSC priest, and then two laymen, Dr. Skaggs and Dr. Chaika, had their meeting on how they would proceed in reviewing the documents. So we now are into the 57th day of these historians who have been here and will continue to be here for several more months. And their job is to read everything that Brother Columba himself wrote, which is about 200 items, and then other items that would demonstrate the not only holiness of Brother Columba, but that he had intercessory power with the Sacred Heart of Jesus and perhaps the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And so they will be, and I'll say wading at the moment, they will be wading through about 2,000 documents right now of the 11,000 documents that we actually have. So there are two kinds of documents. The first and most significant, through factual evidence of letters written, indicate that not only was Brother Columba a holy man, but that he did have an ability to intercede through prayer to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And those prayers were demonstrable when it came to people saying, I believe you have been, I have been cured through your prayers. And I think this will take about now 18 months to complete. And then they will write a report and they will report on their findings. Then all of this, all of the copies are boxed up and they are sent to Rome. And then it goes to the dicastery. And there is an archbishop in the dicastery who is specifically charged with our inquiry. And then he has other people that work for him who will be assigned to also now. Then they have to read everything and they have to make a report. So I don't know how many years it will take to have Brother Columba declared a venerable. Some folks think it could be less than five. Others, you know, I don't know. When Venerable Peyton was finally declared venerable, it took 12 years in his case, which I don't think is necessarily that long when you consider what's going on. So that's basically where we are. My function in all of this right now is to be here on occasion to assist the historians to perhaps find something or answer a question that I might know about and so forth. But my actual role now is simply to continue to get the word out about Coloma across the country, throughout the world. And that's going very well. We have things that are happening all the time. And perhaps the most exciting thing right now is the video that has been 2 years in the making is finally completed. And I will be able to see it for the first time on Thursday. And then that will go through a few eyes. And eventually, hopefully, maybe as soon as the middle of October, which would really be quick with this, we will be able to have that video in a place where it can be publicly viewed.
Right. Again,
So, in a nutshell, that's where I am.
okay. Talking with Brother Philip Smith, again, the archivist for the Congregation of Holy Cross, but for about 5 years working on compiling all of this information, all of these letters, all of the documentation about Brother Columba O'Neill, spent 50 years of his life on campus in South Bend, Indiana, as the cobbler. Cobbler on campus, and he's known as the Miracle Man of Notre Dame. We know that Saint André Bessette is known as the Miracle Man of Montreal. Interesting, they're both from the same community, dedicated to the Sacred Heart, to Saint Joseph, and of course to our Blessed Mother. So I tell you what, the Holy Spirit is working quite a bit. And I think what is exciting to me, Brother Philip, is just to see this process happening and reminding us that every day miracles happen. Every day when we focus on Christ, this leads us to the good news. How are you feeling after all of that work, 5 years of investigation, of compiling, of reading, and now it's at a different level, which, like you said, your hands are kind of off. You're there now to just be a supportive person as needed. But how does that sit in your heart?
Well, it sits very nicely in my heart. I was convinced already in 2022 that he was a saint from my own work. And so I'm very pleased to have been involved in all of it. It has definitely encouraged my ability to have a firmer devotion, not only to the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but just to the fact that if one continues to do on a daily basis what one feels that God is directing you to do, then you're on the right path. And this is Columba for me. He was completely and totally convinced that his daily life had purpose, and that that purpose in his case was to assist so many people who were suffering and who would come to see him or would write him letters. And I believe that I cannot state this categorically, but I am convinced also that his community members at Notre Dame, the priest and the brothers there, eventually became very, very devoted to seeing that what Brother Columba was doing actually would progress also. So he had an effect on the daily life of the priest and the brothers and the students at Notre Dame.
Right. Brother Philip, as you look at those letters, the correspondence, the witnesses, can you give us a sense of what that daily life in the cobbler shop would have been like for Brother Columba in that time period?
Well, I think the first thing we have to remember is he was a brother. He was a member of the religious congregation. So he was leading what was called back in the day the regular life. He rose at a particular time in the morning. He went to morning prayer. He probably did some kind of adoration. He said his prayers. He had his breakfast. He went off to work, came home for lunch. Perhaps he was there for common rosary. The brothers way back in the day did not recite the Divine Office as we do today and so forth. But he had to fit his work life, his vocation as a cobbler, into his vocation as a member of the Congregation of Holy Cross. And I think that he did it. And then he fit all of these other things in. He was on the campus, by the way, for 40 years as a
40 years.
cobbler, not 50. And on occasion, he went on these curing tours, one for literally 6 weeks. Which leads me to believe he had to have some kind of an assistant or assistants in that cobbler shop just to keep the work going. So he's given a tremendous amount of latitude to do as he felt prompted by God to do, promote the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and assist people in any way he could assist them. That's that old business of come unto me, all you who labor and are wearied, and I will give you comfort. So to me, he is the campus cobbler, but he's also the campus comforter.
I love
I just
that.
yeah.
Absolutely. And people came for their feet to be comforted, with their shoes to be fixed, their souls to be comforted. And their souls were obviously being comforted with the intercession and the interaction with Brother Columba. I want to let our listeners know that if you go to the website, brothercolumba.com, the latest information is always going to be posted. There's a great newsletter, In Kind Love, that you can check out. And I've been reading those, they're amazing. But I want to continue to talk with Brother Philip and Father Ron about the life of Brother Columba and how that life can affect us. But we are up to a break. So do stay with us and we'll continue our conversation with the Congregation of Holy Cross in the next half hour. This is Dina Marie, and I'm back with Brother Philip Smith and Father Ron Rabb. They are members of the Congregation of Holy Cross and over in Notre Dame, South Bend, Indiana. Father Ron is with the Holy Cross House at Notre Dame. He serves as their religious superior. And Brother Philip has been spending, boy, the last 5 years putting together a cause for the canonization of Brother Columba O'Neill. That cause has officially opened as of Divine Mercy Sunday, 2025. And now the work to be done is to continue to compile, to not compile, but now to review this life. And I want you to learn more about the life of Brother Columba. The website, brothercolumba.com, is a great start. And to also learn about his intercession and his look to Jesus Christ, particularly in the Sacred Heart. And Father Ron, that's what I wanted to ask you a little bit more about, is just like this prayer life, this life of the Holy Cross, which definitely influenced Brother Columba. And he had this amazing devotion. In fact, he asked people to wear a badge of the Sacred Heart. He started to make these cloth badges. He started to make badges of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. What's been your understanding, or how have you learned about Brother Columba that relates to his prayer life and how that life reflected your community, Holy Cross?
Right. Thank you so much, Dina Marie. Let me just give you a thumbnail sketch about the congregation and where we're from and how we got here. So it's the Congregation of Holy Cross, and we have brothers and sisters and priests. And all three of those groups are represented here in South Bend. So the priests developed the University of Notre Dame. By and large, it was the priests. The brothers have Holy Cross College across the street. The sisters, St. Mary's College, also across the street. At the time, we're a French community. We came from that understanding where the Sacred Heart was a way in which to get into the intimacy of God. And especially at that time, after the French Revolution, when things were so complicated and so separated from faith itself. So, brothers and priests came to Notre Dame, started setting up shop. And if you see behind me the steeple there, that is the Basilica of the Sacred Heart. So, and that is the what second or third church because of different burn that they had burned, but the name has always been there from the beginning. And so Brother Columba, who was a brother in our community, sort of grew up in his religious life with the Sacred Heart around him. So it was not only about and institutional names like of a church and of, representing the community. But Columba, it seems, really took that to heart. There is something inside that man that surrendered to the gift of God's compassion. And and God's healing love. That was his access in his prayer to the love of the Father. He understood in more ways than we can possibly count the gift of the Sacred Heart and what the Sacred Heart can do for people. So I think the foundation of the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart too was that the Sacred Heart was around all around the universities. You know, it was embedded in the community that came here from France. But he took it seriously, and part of the interesting things for me is that Brother Columba was born with a club foot. Two or both feet were deformed, and his parents really did not think that he was going to live. And so part of that deformity became the place in which Jesus's love changed everything. So how ironic that he became the cobbler for the students and for the community and for who else, I don't know, maybe faculty and maybe people from the outside. But his work then became a reflection of what it is he believed. So he believed in the compassionate heart of Jesus that was going to show him literally how to walk in faith. And so at that cobbler shop, he began demonstrating that by offering people a badge, something very physical that they could take and pray with, getting them to realize that the gift of the Sacred Heart was not something of just the name of a building or a statue outside, but it was a reality of how to live and how to be part of a faith community that was really going to explore the mystery of God's presence here on earth. Columba is buried here in our community cemetery right here. I go over there, gosh, 3 or 4 times a week, and I just talk to him about what's going on. And, like, could you please help us out a little bit every once in a while? So that his presence for me is still around. I know for Phil as well. But the gift and the treasure of people being able to surrender to such a love is really the essence of our faith. At the Eucharist too, we believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ. And if we can show up to that presence and allow God to do God's work in us, it too will change our lives. Now, I'm sure that Brother Columba had no idea what was going to happen, but there was something inside of him that connected beautifully and tenderly to the love of God through the Sacred Heart. And that treasure is still being borne out in our faith community, in our religious community, and even today here on campus.
Again, Father Ron Rabb there at Notre Dame, Holy Cross priest with the Congregation of Holy Cross, talking about the life of Brother Columba. I want to have you just reflect a little bit, Father Ron, about this witness to trust, this witness, because you mentioned he was very uneducated, his club feet. The parents didn't think he was going to even survive. They immediately baptized him or pretty quickly after he was born. I mean, just the difficulties he faced physically, for sure, and probably spiritually, yet he showed trust.
Yes, I mean, the whole thing is quite paradoxical, and here was a young man, as Phil would say too, who came to the university uneducated, and really, how in the world was he even accepted in the community to begin with? The same way with Andre, Brother Andre or Saint Andre, it was a different day, a different era. But there was something inside of Columba that spoke of true love and compassion and the values of the Christian life. And for him, he found that in the heart of Jesus. And that surrender in prayer goes well beyond any talent or gift that we may have in the world. It goes well beyond the number of degrees we may have or the kind of work we have. If we believe and catch sight of the gift of God's compassion and love for us and attach our hearts to that, all kinds of things can happen. That our real prayer is not about saying words or showing up to a devotion only. It is about the work of the heart and allowing God to do God's work within us. And that takes some surrender on our part and to know that we can't do this life thing on our own. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot solve our own problems. We cannot heal ourselves. But all of that can be done by the gift of God's grace and mercy.
Amen to that. That is such good news. Again, Father Ron Rabb, Brother Philip with us talking about Brother Columba. Visit the website, brothercolumba.com, for the latest information and to learn more about this incredible encourager to comfort and to rely on the comfort of Jesus Christ and his blessed mother. Brother, I'm just grateful for you, for your work. We're going to pray for the cause to continue to move forward at God's speed, whatever that is. So we pray for your patience. And Father Ron, as always, it's great to have you joining us and keep us updated. I want to let our listeners know, those of you who will join us for the local Rosary Bowl event, which is the first Saturday of October, I'm going to have lots of prayer cards of Brother Columba's there, so you can get them. I've got several different kinds for you to share. So I want you to come and visit us. Information will be found on this podcast. So check that out, and we will continue to spread the good news about our love for Brother Columba. Father Ron, with that, would you please help us close with a closing prayer and blessing?
Let's begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O God of eternal mercy, you walk with us in our hearts, even in times when we stumble and fall. Open our heart to the possibility and wonder of your love. And through the example of Brother Columba O'Neill, may we too be instruments of the heart of your Son, Jesus, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. And may Almighty God bless and keep us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you both and have a blessed day.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.